This is Greater LA, KCRW's show that connects you to the people and places of Southern California. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today, we dig into the complexities of plate tectonics.
Well, we're getting close.
We are doing, by the way, what every Angeleno does, and that's going for a hike.
Yeah.
That's Dr. Lucy Jones. After some intense earthquakes struck the area last week, you probably know who she is. And if you don't, suffice it to say that after an earthquake, she's like Moses, leading flocks of Southern Californians away from fear of the unknown and into information.
We have an earthquake that's already begun up north, just slightly to the northwest of the main shock. Our early warning system is saying 5.7 with 26 seconds till it gets here.
After decades with the U.S. Geological Survey and its City Hall, Jones now works for Caltech, teaching students and teaching throngs of Angelenos about earthquakes. Today, she's teaching me about geology and geography. We're in Altadena on a search for the Sierra Madre Fault.
I grew up in California climbing these mountains, and I went to be a physicist. And I met a couple of geophysicists, and they're saying, why are you doing that? That's building bombs. Go play, you know, become a geophysicist, and you can play in the mountains and get paid for it.
And that's what you're doing.
And that's
what we're doing right
now.
We hike through some rocky terrain, into a canyon, past a riverbed, and through some brush. And like finding gold in old California, Jones and I hit pay dirt.
This is the fault. Isn't it amazing?
This is the fault.
Look at here on this surface. And then you see there's this clay.
Yeah.
Look at the clay.
In overdeveloped LA, this is one of the few places where you can still actually see a fault at the surface of the earth. A fault that has the power to bring this region to its knees.
So this material has been ground up as the fault moves. It crushes the rocks that are there on the surface. And over multiple earthquakes, you go from being solid rock to sand to clay. And it's called fault gouge.
Now, seismologists like Jones say a big one, close to or even under L.A., is very likely to happen in the next 30 years. But her consistent message today and always is don't panic. You'll probably survive.
You know, you're far more likely to be murdered in Los Angeles than to die in an earthquake in Los Angeles.
That's a scary thought, by the way.
And even more likely to die on the freeway. Right? The total deaths expected from the big San Andreas earthquake is about 1,800 deaths. That's as many people as die on the freeway in 7 years in Los Angeles County, just Los Angeles County. So you shouldn't worry about dying in the earthquake. What you should worry about is being bankrupted by the earthquake and whether or not this is going to be a place we can live after the earthquake.
So today we're talking not about your survival, but the survival of the city. The existence of Los Angeles after a calamitous event such as the big one. Jones says San Francisco was the up-and-coming city in the early 20th century, before the 1906 earthquake shook it to its core. Because of the devastation, people then migrated to Los Angeles.
And it could happen in the other direction. No, the only times that Los Angeles has ever lost population are 1971 and 72, the years after the Sylmar earthquake, and 94, 95, the 2 years after Northridge. And those were not nearly as large and disruptive as a big San Andreas earthquake or a big Hollywood Fault earthquake are going to be. And this is really about, can we get the city up and functioning and running again quickly enough that people don't give up and leave?
Critical to LA's survival, she says, is water.
And how long is it going to take to get the water back? LADWP got water back in every house in Northridge within 2 weeks. Right. Our estimate, when we brought together all the water companies and said, okay, here's the shaking we expect from the big earthquake. What is it going to take to get water back everywhere? And it's going to take 6 months to get water back into every location because just so many more pipes would be broken.
The city is preparing. And to see that up close, Lucy Jones takes me 10 miles from Altadena and the Sierra Madre Fault to a pair of new concrete reservoirs right next to Burbank. It's called the Headworks Reservoir. We climb more than 40 feet to the top of one of them. Now, these new massive concrete lakes were built to increase LA's supply of drinking water. And the construction takes into account what could happen in a way that the design of the older reservoirs don't.
See, the human tendency is to design for what you've experienced. And we've come a long ways doing that. We're now ready for the Long Beach earthquake. We're ready for the Sylmar earthquake. And what the science gives us is saying, actually, these earthquakes happen on a different time scale than humanity is used to dealing with. And let's look a little farther. And we know we have this earthquake in the future that we haven't experienced since we have development in California. And that's what we need to get ready for.
The construction is strong enough to sustain heavy shaking and to crack in the right places if it has to. And having 110 million gallons of water on this side of the San Andreas Fault, closer to Los Angeles, means there's a better chance we'll have the drinking water we need in a big one.
And so we need that kind of water supply to keep the city intact.
To keep the city up and running, to keep people from needing to leave. We need to be able to store enough water on this side of the fault to give us time to fix the broken ones.
Now, the city's also beginning to replace thousands of miles of pipe here in L.A. with ones that can withstand considerable shaking, so water can make it from this reservoir to your kitchen sink. Now, one of those projects is called the Foothill Trunk Line in the San Fernando Valley. Engineer Ophelia Rubio says that critical water pipe crosses the San Fernando Fault.
It is designed so that when it crosses the fault, it will move at least 10 feet, which is really, if you think about underground, 10 feet, it's going to move if it has to move.
But besides reservoirs, pipes, or even what's in your earthquake kit, seismologist Lucy Jones says one of your best survival tools could be the person living next door.
I'm saying we should meet our neighbors. I'm saying LA to survive cannot be the isolationist place that it has a reputation for. And connect with your neighbors, connect with people, not virtually, physically connect with people so you know who might need your help and who can help you and give you a reason to stay.
So besides all that information about the stuff you should have and what to do when the big one hits, here's another thought to leave you with. Maybe it's time, Angelenos, to get to know your neighbors. Because when that big one does hit, you know you're all going to end up outside talking about it and commiserating and picking up the pieces. Well, if you were hoping for a Shake Alert LA notification on your smartphone during the last couple of strong quakes, here's what you got. Yeah, nothing. And sure enough, condemnation, quick and harsh, ensued from the Twitterverse and the everywhere else verse. The city of LA released that Shake Alert LA app around the first of the year, but does its silence in the wake of last week's shaking mean it failed? Alyssa Walker is urbanism editor at Curbed LA. Hi, Alyssa.
Hey, Steve.
So what happened? Why didn't the Shake Alert app go off?
Well, if you ask different people, you would get different answers, as we did in the moments after the quake. It's always kind of chaotic, right?
Right.
We always want to find answers. There's a lot of information out there. But what we have come to realize a few days out from the quake is that the intensity levels set for the quake, what the quake is supposed to detect and alert people for, were actually set too high for Los Angeles to receive these alerts.
So the intense shaking that was happening in Ridgecrest and Trona, way northeast of here, 120, 130 miles.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yep.
It's far away there. It's intense shaking if you're in a house there. But it's not intense shaking here, and therefore, ergo, we don't have the app going off.
Exactly. So what the number that you associate with an earthquake is magnitude. That's what we always hear, right? This is the energy released at the epicenter. And it's what we hear as 6.4 and 7.1. It's what we think of as we think of earthquakes. But what really affects us is the shaking intensity, a completely different scale of numbers, right? And according to USGS and the city of LA, the thresholds for that were too low for the alert to be sent out in Los Angeles County.
And I bet you, because I remember when the first one, the really strong one on 4th of July, I was in my bedroom and it started shaking. And I thought to myself, now this is either a really strong one far away or it's a very mild one that's closer to home.
Yeah, you can tell. You feel, especially if they're longer, you have a sense that it's a more powerful earthquake that's far away.
And it was rolling. It was
rolling.
A little gentle. It was,
right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then the second one was stronger and felt stronger to, I think, everyone in Los Angeles County. Still was not technically above that threshold to alert people.
Some folks get this confused with like an earthquake warning system. Is that what this is supposed to be?
Kind of. So earthquake early warning systems are in place in places like Japan and Mexico, where they've been used for years to alert people before very big quakes. They've definitely saved lives. You can roll up the doors of the fire station. You can stop elevators. You can stop trains. All these things, which are really great. What we have in the United States right now is this shake alert system, which is in place for California, Oregon, and Washington. And this is the data that's being collected by all these monitoring systems all up and down the coast. And the idea is that we will have an early warning system in place. We can use this data for any kind of application. We can stop trains with it. Metro already uses this to stop our trains if it is above a certain threshold for shaking in the city. So what you can do with that data is different. You could have an alarm go off in a public place, for example. You could put it on TV. You could put it on the radio. But what LA chose to do was use this data to create an app that can send this alert to your smartphone. And the thing is, you have to make some very big decisions about how to use that early warning data. Do you want to alert everyone if it's going to be only moderate shaking, just to give them a heads up? Do we want to make sure that we alert everyone if it's going to be heavy shaking and at what level? So these are all the things that we're testing. Even though you've downloaded the app and you expect the app to work, we're still all kind of beta testers for this app because this is the first city in the U.S. to use this data and figure out how people react to it.
Is there a solution to this, though, with the shaking intensity thing, right? I mean, are they lowering the threshold so we're going to get those alerts?
The city has said that they are going to lower the threshold. So if you think about what you felt, right? You're like, yeah, I felt it.
I felt it. Is it going to be really bad or it's going to fade?
And
one of the two.
And I had the same feeling, too. I said, when I experienced the second one, I was like, I would have liked to have gotten an alert for this, right? So they're lowering the intensity, the shaking intensity from 4 to 3 of what you will feel. So anything that feels kind of like what we felt for most people probably in the city, you will get an alert for that. I've had a different app on my phone for the past year. There's another app in development called Quake Alert that's intended to be for the state. And this is going to be deployed all up and down the state. A lot of commercial operations are already using it. And that app is a little bit different in that it gives you a countdown. It actually tells you, it looks at how far away you are from the earthquake. It makes an estimation of what you're going to feel. And it'll give you a countdown to when the waves actually hit you, which is, or hopefully not hit you, hopefully not knock you down, but when you start to feel them. So for this earthquake, it was so far away. It's as far away as the San Andreas is to us too. You could get up to a minute's warning. So for some of these quakes that I've gotten alerts for on the Quake Alert app, I've had time to look around and say, where should I go? What should I do? And
that's the essence of the system, right? Is when the quake strikes, the farther away you are from that quake, the more leeway time.
The
I
more
guess
time
you'll
have you
to make preparations.
And
right?
Then you need to think about what kind of messaging goes out. If you see the notification come up on your phone and you swipe through, then what shows up? Is it telling you drop cover, hold on? Is it telling you don't run outside of a building? Don't run outside of a building. And in places in other countries, they have had to make a decision about at what point are they going to alert people, because people start to get what's called alert fatigue, right? You get sick of seeing these, oh, there's so many like 4.1s, 4.3, all these lower magnitude earthquakes, and you start to get desensitized or maybe not leap to action. So there's a delicate balance to decide what we alert people for and why.
Do people just believe that the Shake Alert app didn't work?
I think that's a problem right now. There is this idea that people felt the shaking and were startled by it. And if you look at the app, it says this will alert you to earthquakes over 5.0 in LA County.
Yeah, the epicenter was in San Bernardino County, right?
Right. So you'd think that's not that far away. It was bigger than a 5.0. Maybe I should have gotten a notification. But I think the wording needs to be tweaked slightly on our app and in all communications around it. You know, there needs to be a debriefing right now where we all sit down and explain the difference between shaking intensity and magnitude and maybe do away with magnitude. In Japan, they don't even talk about magnitude anymore because that doesn't mean anything to you and what you experience when you feel it.
Right. And I mean, even people in Las Vegas felt shaking. So it's like, you know.
And that's the other thing, too. Why limit the app to L.A. County? Right now, you can only get the alerts if you're in L.A. County. That makes me think that a statewide app is kind of a better idea.
Are you saying seismic waves don't know boundaries, county boundaries? Is that what you're saying, Alyssa Walker?
I know. That's unfair. Yeah. They should really pay attention.
Alyssa Walker, urbanism editor at Curbed and a contributor, of course, here at Greater L.A. Alyssa, as always, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, how about you? Did you get an alert? Are you prepared for a big earthquake? Tweet at me, would you? Radio Chio on Twitter and hashtag it GreaterLA. Coming up, so much homeless money, so little change, it seems. But LA's mayor says there is progress being made. You're listening to Greater LA on KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Steve Chiotakis here. You're back with Greater LA on KCRW. Now turning from a natural disaster to a human-made one, LA's homeless crisis. Maybe you voted for Measures H and Triple H, taxes that you're now paying for housing and services, but the problem keeps getting worse. 59,000 people now live on the streets of LA County, 36,000 of them inside the city limits of Los Angeles. So where is all that money going? And what are our representatives doing? L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti has gotten more flack than any other elected official, and in recent weeks, he's been on a campaign to respond.
This is a briefing of what the city's efforts are for folks to hear from city leaders about what the city continues to do in the fight of our lives, in the most important fight that we face.
KCRW reporter Anna Scott was at that briefing, and she joins me now. Hello, Anna.
Hi.
This happened yesterday. First, seems like we hear about a new press conference every single week. What's going on at City Hall?
Yeah, you're right about that, and I've been at most of them. There have been a lot of press conferences to announce new strategies on dealing with homelessness from City Hall. You know, LA Mayor Eric Garcetti is dealing with two crises, basically. We've got the homelessness crisis, obviously, and then also a potential political crisis. Activists have started a recall effort over this issue. As you said, he's gotten more criticism than any other elected official. And so there's a genuine effort to get the word out about the things that the city is doing. And then also there's an effort to deflect blame and possibly to avoid being put on a magazine cover with the word failure like his predecessor, Antonio Villaraigosa.
Yeah, we all remember that. What specifically did Garcetti announce yesterday, though? Does he have this plan?
Yeah, so yesterday's press conference was about this new pot of money that has come from the state to fight homelessness. There were a couple of state lawmakers there as well. So this was part of the state budget that was signed a couple of weeks ago. Los Angeles is getting $124 million from state funds called Homeless Housing and Assistance Prevention Program, or HAAP.
I don't know how you pronounce it. We're saying maybe it's HAAP. But in all seriousness, this was the issue that the people of California want the money spent on. They no longer want to tolerate people living on the streets outside their homes and their businesses.
And not to mention, Steve, people on the streets are not so thrilled about being there. But here's the breakdown on this. So the biggest piece of this money, almost half of it, more than $60 million, is going to go to shelters and transitional housing facilities.
All right. Wait. Isn't the city already building, though, a bunch of shelters? We've got all this money that's been infused from the taxes. Are those all done? And now they need money to build more? What's going on?
They're not all done, but that's right. We do already have this plan to roll out bridge housing facilities. So these are shelters with intensive services all over the city. The original plan was to put 15 of them throughout the city, one in every council district. They were all supposed to be up and running by now, but so far, four are open. And then there are three more that are coming this summer. One is going up right on the Hollywood, West Hollywood border. There's one that's coming to South LA near Western and Slauson, and then one to Watts on Imperial Highway. Now, what Garcetti said is that this state money will speed up this bridge housing program. So they are behind schedule. So this state money, it's going to go into the construction. The thinking is basically that if you have more money to spend, you can hire more workers, you can just build things faster. So it is supposed to speed things up.
So what else is this new state money supposed to do?
One area that it's going to go to is homelessness prevention. So this means emergency rental assistance, eviction defense, which is something that Garcetti has already said the city is going to provide, and family reunification. We don't have a lot of details on what all this will look like yet, but, you know, family reunification, I guess that could mean if you have relatives in Texas that you want to go live with, perhaps the city will pay for your bus ticket. A lot of it's going to go to Skid Row specifically. Some of it will go specifically to homeless youth. And then finally, some of it will go to public health services. So hygiene, perhaps things like mobile restrooms, nurse care, things like that. So this whole spending plan still needs to get approved by the city council. We're going to probably get a lot more details as it goes through that process. The plan could potentially change as it goes through that process, but Council President Herb Wesson was there yesterday too, and he made it sound like he is on board with this plan.
We will do our very best to spend this money wisely. The mayor has laid out plans as to his priorities. The council, for the most part, share his priorities, and together, as we always do, we'll come together and figure out a plan.
All right, so there's Wesson. We heard from Garcetti. They're talking about what we're going to do with the state money, this infusion mm-hmm. of money from the state of California. But then again, at the outset, we talked about Measure H and Measure Triple H, right? This is the money that we taxed ourselves with in L.A. City and L.A. County. What's happening with that money?
Right. So Triple H, that was the city measure. That was a $1 billion bond measure that voters passed almost 3 years ago to build new permanent supportive housing. Now, so far, only one building has opened with that money. And Garcetti did talk yesterday about the HHH projects being behind schedule and over budget.
Unfortunately, construction of housing for homeless Angelenos has been costly and too slow over the last few years. That's why we hired 4 new staffers in my Office of City Homeless Initiatives to speed up the approvals needed to get shovels in the ground quicker and construction done faster.
So he has new people working that he says are helping to streamline this process. He said there are 110 projects in the pipeline of new permanent supportive housing. Altogether, they'll produce about 7,000 apartments for formerly homeless people. But Measure HHH was supposed to fund 10,000 new units of permanent supportive housing, so behind on the goals. Also, the projects that are set to open in the next 6 months are in South LA, downtown Hollywood, areas that do already have some homeless services. Again, just like with the shelters, the idea here with the permanent supportive housing is to spread it throughout the city. There are some council districts that have approved either very few or, in one case, no new permanent supportive housing units funded by Measure HHH. So we will see if that changes going forward.
The one thing about results, right, about all of this is the fewer people we see on the streets, the fewer people outside our doors, outside of retail establishments on the streets. When will we? Do city officials, do elected officials know when we're going to see that result?
Yes, I've asked that question. And what I hear from elected officials is that they simply can't control the flow of people into homelessness. So they are housing a lot of people. Yesterday, Garcetti said they have housed 76,000 people since 2014, which is an impressive number. But they're not keeping up with the flow of people into homelessness, which is why you don't see a big difference on the streets. Now, some of the state money is going into these prevention programs that we talked about. Presumably, that should make some difference in that inflow. And I do think it's a fair question to keep asking, when are we going to see fewer people suffering on the streets? So I'll keep asking the question and I'll keep reporting back on it.
Yeah, and we're counting on that. KCRW's Anna Scott on the Housing and Homelessness Beat. Anna, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for today. Tomorrow, grocery workers across L.A. could go on strike in the coming days. The issues and the possible disruption. Next on KCRW DNA, Design and Architecture, Catherine Barnes, Sonia Geis, Phil Richards, Ray Guarna, and Christian Bordahl all make this program happen. We're online at kcrw.com/greaterLA, available as a podcast as well, wherever you get them. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Proud you loaned us your ear today. Thanks for the time. Let's do it again tomorrow.